With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hope everyone had a nice weekend and enjoyed the beautiful weather. Gorgeous again today. It's Carmen and Yurko. Make sure you watch us every day on YouTube. You can join the chat there. Like and subscribe to our very own YouTube channel. All the shows have their own now, so just go to youtube.com/@Carmen and Yurko or in the app, just search at Carmen and Yurko, and you can subscribe and follow there. You can also watch on Twitch and the ESPN Chicago app. Brad Biggs has a new mock draft out, Chicago Tribune. You ready, Yurk? Bears, number one.
I am ready.
Caleb Williams, no surprise. He writes, the Bears hosted Williams on an official visit 2 weeks ago, and barring something totally unexpected, this selection is a fait accompli. Most certainly is. Williams has no other known visits. The Bears were positively smitten with him coming out of his pro day workout last month. This selection inspires confidence that this mock draft will finish at least 1 for 32. I like that. That's pretty funny. And that's where it gets crazy. And who the hell knows? He's got Jaden Daniels going next. Then J.J. McCarthy third, Yurko, all the way up to 3. Wow.
Who's this?
This is Biggsy's.
Oh, Biggsy's. I saw Biggsy's. Go ahead. It gets more interesting at
it,
9.
It does. Yeah. Minnesota with the projected trade with the Cardinals. They take Drake May, the fourth quarterback off the board. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't believe that's ever happened before in NFL draft history. He's got the Chargers grabbing Joe Alt. He's got the Giants grabbing Marvin Harrison Jr. Can you imagine Marvin going 6th after all this?
I can.
Talese Fuaga from Oregon State to the Titans. Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama, to the Falcons. And then at 9, he's got the Bears trading with Arizona after already making a trade.
Trading with who's still available, though?
Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze are both available.
And both of them still available, and he's got them trading out.
He's got the Bears going to 11. The Cardinals taking Malik Nabers. The Jets then taking Roma Dunze. And the Bears taking Washington O-lineman Troy Fatanu is how you say it. Oh, my. Biggsy, I love you to death. I love you, Biggsy. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't know. I shouldn't say that, though. Who knows? If the kid turns out to be a bookend left tackle for you for a decade, you'd be happy.
I think if Malik Nabers is there at 9, that's hard to pass on.
I think if either of them are there, it's hard to pass on, Yurk. I think it's hard to pass on. Mel and Field Yates did a new mock draft as well. Adam reached out to Field, by the way. He'll be all over the coverage next week. I think we're going to get Field on at some point here.
Okay.
Before the draft, which starts a week from Thursday. They also did a 100-pick mock. They, too, have the Bears. We know this is happening. Everybody's got the Bears taking Caleb Williams. They also have Jaden Daniels going 2nd to Washington. Drake May in this one goes 3rd. To New England. Arizona does stay put and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. The Vikings jump up to 5 and trade with the Bolts. And the Vikings take J.J. McCarthy. The Giants get Malik Nabers at 6. The Titans get their man that it seems like they want, Joe Alt, at 7. The Falcons, here's another one, taking Dallas Turner, your first edge rusher, your first defensive player going off the board, at 8 to the Falcons. And then the Bears take Roma Dunze since he is sitting there. And I think if either one of those guys are there, it is going to be awfully hard for the Bears to move out and pass on either one of them. We find out a week from Thursday, Yurko.
That we will.
Really does get interesting, I think, after 1. That's the only thing that's a no-brainer at this point. The draft could get crazy next week.
Well, yeah, the preference is it does get crazy. The preference is it gets nutty.
Good for the Bears?
I think it's got to be good for the Bears at 9. Then.
I think so, too.
If it gets crazy, yes.
Who would have thought when this all started? This is why the draft can be weird. It's why teams outthink themselves, quite frankly. It's why busts happen often. Who could have predicted that? I don't know. Maybe Jaden with the season he had, but that, like, Jaden and J.J. McCarthy, after all this, like, going in the top 4 or 5, couldn't have really predicted that. And that is good for the Bears. It does give you options then. It gives you more options at 9.
My interesting individual that and where he goes, Brock Bowers.
They've got Bowers going, I'll tell you.
That's what intrigues me. Where does Bowers end up?
They've got him going. Well, the mock that Mel, I'm just looking at Mel and Fields' mock right now. They've got Brock Bowers going to Denver.
At 12?
Sean Payton takes him at 12. Yeah.
Whose bigs he have?
Let me look.
Bigsy's got Denver going up, I think, or doing something.
Hold on.
Something crazy.
I only printed up the top 11 because it was Bears related on Bigsy's, but I will get it for you in just a second.
I had Bigsy's up here earlier. I
got it. Don't
upset.
Worry about it. I'll get it.
I'm a little upset I didn't keep it up here now.
I'll get it. Breaking news on the Chicago Tribune. Oberweis Dairy files for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Protection.
Bankruptcy protection.
They've got $20 million in creditors, including Cook County, the tax assessor's office.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I plan on going to Oberweis tonight. No joke.
That's not going to. They didn't close their doors.
No, I know. Well, I'll help the bankruptcy proceedings by donating some money tonight.
Kirko, why did you have that little response ready to go?
Which one?
Like, Carmen will give you all kinds of sports things, and you don't even say anything. And Carmen
incredible.
Goes, oh, breaking news. It was something off the cuff. Over. And then, boom, you had the soundbite ready to go to respond.
I heard about it a little bit earlier today.
It was amazing.
And I sat and I listened to the report
don't
that they
you guys
had on
know.
Oberweis.
You know how amazing and unique
there's
he is.
There's certain idiotic things that I pay attention to.
Should we have the Yurko Business Hour?
Okay.
Yes.
Yes,
we should.
Yeah. Where we just pepper Yurko with stories in business, and then he gives us the breakdown.
Exactly. They're reorganizing their debt is what they're doing. So if you want to get some ice cream, you can go get some ice cream.
I'm going to get ice cream, and I like their milk a lot, too.
I like their black cherry
do
ice
you?
Cream that they have. Yeah,
they make great milkshakes.
It's phenomenal.
How the heck did they go into bankruptcy? What happened?
Well, you got to reorganize your debt, man. That's what it's about. Yeah. Sometimes you get over-leveraged. You get over-leveraged, then you got to go. Find a way to get things done.
Yurko really does know things that most men should know. In Briggsy's mock, Yurko, he's got Jared Verse, the second defensive player off the board, at 12 to the Broncos. He's got the Raiders then taking Terrion Arnold, the corner from Alabama.
This is Bowers. I just want to know where Bowers goes.
Okay. Way down. I'm going Cooper DeJean at 17 to the Jaguars.
Ooh.
Brock Bowers, the safety from Iowa, the safety slash corner from Iowa. Brock Bowers, 18 to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Woo, oh, boy, they get stronger.
Wow.
They get stronger.
That's a lot of weapons.
Wow.
Some weaponry.
I bet you if Cincinnati could say, I'll sign up for that right now. Yes. Don't care what else happens around us. If somebody can say, we're going to get this guy, we'll take him.
That's a lot for Joe Burrow, isn't it, Yurko?
Oh, weaponry. Nothing but weaponry.
I'm with you. Like, the craziness ensues and the good stuff happens for the Bears and it gives them more options. If indeed one of those teams definitely comes inside the top five or six to grab the fourth quarterback.
Yes.
That's going to be the crazy part.
That's where silliness
And that's
happens.
Good for the Bears.
That's when things start to get a little bit nutty.
And I'm getting excited, Yurk.
I would hope you would get excited. What are you more excited for, the draft or for the schedule release?
The draft, because I'm very curious about nine and what else happens. One's fait accompli, like we all know. I'm very curious to see what happens in the craziness of that night as it unfolds. Yurko's going to be out, by the way, watching the draft next Thursday at a great spot. And when I tell you it's great, it's a lot of fun. It's the game room inside Chicago Athletic Association right on Michigan Avenue. It's like Michigan and Madison.
Yeah, it's like 12 South Michigan.
Yeah, it's a great old hotel, and they've renovated it recently, and there's some fun places in there. Yurko's going to be at the game room watching it.
6:30 to 8:30, I'll be there,
Carm. With Elijah Craig.
Absolutely,
that's
bourbon.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the Elijah Craig's going to be there with
me.
Well,
no, not the Elijah Craig,
just
not the old minister turned bourbon distiller.
But you made it sound like it was going to be a dude there, not the bourbon.
He's been dead for like 200 years. But Yurko's going to be there with Elijah Craig bourbon, and he's going to be watching the draft, and I think you're going to see craziness unfold.
And I'll be there for both of the Bears' picks as long as they're at 1-9.
If they move out to 23,
well, if they go to 23, I'm still a bye-bye.
Yurko's gone.
Yeah.
I'll be at a youth baseball game watching on my phone.
You'll be getting alerts.
Oh, my God. And we're going to be so distracted.
It'll be set to...
We're going to be so distracted.
Yeah.
Because like all the dads really care about at this point is like that night is like, okay, what's happening? What are they doing? What happens when they're on the clock at 9?
Right.
It's going to be complete. So I'm much more looking forward to that. And then the schedule will come out, and that's fun. I want to see when the London game is. I really want to position us to go if we can.
I mean, it only makes sense.
It does.
That we would be the show that goes.
We went 10 years ago or 12 years ago, I guess now, when they were in London for the very first time.
I'd be interested to see when Indianapolis and Detroit are on the schedule. Go ahead. We went 10 years ago. 12 years ago?
12 years ago, yeah. Actually, I take it's 13 years this fall, York. That was 2011. How about that? That we were
that
there
was 2011?
For, that was 2011. It was October 2011.
I was so young.
13 years ago. My son wasn't even born yet. So I remember it was the fall before my son was born. So that was 2011. I'd love to go back. We, I mean, after all, we broke the news in 2011, this show did. It was the old Carmen Yurko and Harry show back in
That's
the day.
That's what we do.
We broke the news then that the Bears were going to go be playing London. And, you know, we don't have to toot our own horn, but let's toot it. We broke the news a year ago that the Bears would be going to London. Remember, I told you last year before the schedule came out.
Yeah.
They won't be playing Kansas City and Germany. They'll be playing a London game in 2024.
And you did that's break the, that
so,
news.
So, you know, we broke the we're newsbreakers. I mean, I feel like we've got to
value
be over
added.
In London.
Value added. Carm, that's what you bring to the
I
table.
I feel like, hello.
I remember when I used to break the news, and then it was no longer wanted. I was told that. You okay?
I'm okay.
Yeah, you're going to be fine.
Very nice.
Yes.
Well, she stopped and looked, and she was
did.
Interested, Adam.
She took a gander, this time at Carmen. This time they were looking at Carmen, which is the point of that is that makes sense.
I think the message from in here is control yourself.
Yeah.
I'm controlled.
I think that's the message, and we'll leave it at that.
I guess it's the first time anybody's been enamored with Carmen. I go,
well,
but that's
no,
I
normally they're all eyeing up the good kid.
Right. No, they were eyeballing Carmen like he was on the menu.
Well,
I'm just letting you know. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge what I see.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think we should be in London with listeners. I'm going to position for that. I'm angling for that for us.
Well, you know, how are you angling for this?
I do the post-game show.
What are you doing for us to get us to England so we can watch soccer and also cover the
football.
Bears? Yeah.
I am going to...
He's positioned
himself. I have no clout. I don't know, Adam. I've got to find some way to blackmail Danny. I'm not sure.
Because this is it's a show trip.
Yeah, we're all going.
Trip.
This has got to be a show
absolutely.
Trip.
Absolutely.
Show trip.
Black and Abdallah have to do the pregame from
Anfield.
Jolly old England.
From Anfield.
From Anfield.
Yeah, we'll be on the pitch.
From Anfield.
We'll be on the pitch during the pregame.
We're going to another soccer game.
Yeah. We'll give you a Premier League update.
Right? We'll be doing it from the Stadium of Light.
It's wild to me. Maybe it's where my fandom lies, but if I'm going over there, I would by far rather go see European soccer games than seeing an NFL game.
You're not helping us.
But that's because...
No, I know. But I'm saying if we're there, I'm going to make sure there's a game we can go see. Well, it's going to be in the season.
Yeah, Yurko did that in 2011. He went to a game.
Stoke City. Yeah. Arsenal Stoke City at the Emirates.
I don't blame you for wanting to do that at all. That's what... I think most fans are going to want to try to double up on that with an experience.
Triple
tip.
Four. I'll go to five.
I mean, you know.
I mean, if you time it right, you could find a week where there are games Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's what I mean. Like
Saturday, Sunday,
I
Monday.
Think Bear fans will be all
Friday.
Over. Are you more looking forward to the draft or the schedule release?
Me?
You ask me. Yeah, I'll ask you.
I know what they're doing in the draft. It feels like everybody kind of knows what they're doing in the draft.
Not a nine, though.
So the only surprise I have is when the games are going to break out in the schedule.
So you're looking for that? You're looking for that a little bit more?
Okay. I know Caleb Williams is going to be the quarterback.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That's it. That's what I know.
I think the possibilities are nine or
then
still.
Then they got two picks after that, and I'm going to get excited about that? Not really.
No, there's three picks after that.
You
right?
know, 2 hours into the thing, the Bears draft is basically over.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be, otherwise, it's going to be a long wait, Yerk.
Yeah. So after that, then I wait for the schedule to slowly but surely come out, which is what I like.
It's going
to
be a long wait after that.
When are we going to Green Bay? You know, that's another great trip that you and I can have. It was on a Thursday night Green Bay game, Carm, me and you up there getting things done.
Yerk, you're right. I think I said that right. It's two picks after nine. That's it.
Yeah.
You're right. It's four total.
Yeah.
The wait's going to be long. At least they're all inside the top 122. If you've got thoughts on Bears' new mock drafts, what they should do at 9, how do you think the scenario is going to play out, and what are you hoping for? Bigsy's got him passing on Neighbors and Adunze. Oh, boy, if that happens, that's going to cause for an interesting conversation come Friday.
Keenan Allen better be ready to play for another 4 years.
I don't know if he is. What do you think about that, Bears fans? 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Coming up here, I'm going to give away a two-pack. I'm sorry, one of the two four-packs we have to this Marian Hossa event on Wednesday night at Morgan Manufacturing. It's a great entertaining space. Marian Hossa is doing something, a little fundraiser for the Ross K. McNeil Foundation to end pediatric brain cancer. Noble cause. So we got a couple of four-packs to give away. We'll do that here shortly. And if you want to still buy tickets, you can. They're going to close this. They're going to close ticket sales soon. So if you'd like to go Wednesday night, support a great cause. If you're a huge Hawks fan, hockey fan, Bickle's going to be there. Andrew Shaw, Dustin Bufflin, our guy Patty Boyle is going to be emceeing the whole thing. And Marian Hossa will be there 6:30 to 9:30 at Morgan Manufacturing. If you go to Eventbrite's website, just search Marian Hossa's name and the event will pop up. Let's say hi to Matt in South Carolina. What's up, Matt?
How y'all doing?
We're great. How are you?
Spectacular. It's 83 degrees and sunny down here.
Gotta love that.
Yeah. So I have the meathead question of the week.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb is unhappy in Dallas.
He is. He's not at voluntary, right? I think, didn't they say he's not at voluntary minicamp today?
Correct.
Yeah, or off-season programming. Correct. Yeah.
And he wants a new contract, and they're going to be up against it with Dak coming up in the future. Is it worthwhile to trade the number 9 pick to get CeeDee Lamb?
Okay, we can discuss. I don't think that's like total meathead, Matt. We can discuss.
Yeah, I don't think that's meathead.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think they want to get DJ Moore a contract extension. CeeDee Lamb's better. I get that. But I think they love DJ, and rightfully so, and they'd like to extend his contract. And maybe they extend Keenan Allen even a little bit more out. Why wouldn't you just maybe take – I say why wouldn't I? You could very easily throw in my face, Carmen, CeeDee Lamb's awesome, and prospects are prospects. But it seems to me, Yerk, that DJ Moore is a priority for them. You could draft a young receiver that's much more cost controlled. You're going to have to trade for CeeDee Lamb and give him a huge contract here. Do you hear? Like, do you feel what I'm saying on that?
Yeah, no, I understand. He's going to have to get paid $20-some-odd million a year.
Oh yeah,
yeah. CeeDee Lamb is in the business of getting paid. What did Stephon Diggs just go for?
Oh boy, it was. I mean, you know, the Bears gave up more to get Chase Claypool, right? At the end of the day,
that's what I'm trying.
That's how badly Buffalo just wanted to be rid of it.
Yeah,
they're letting him walk. You know that, right? He has that out that we talked about. Didn't Houston come out and say that they're basically like he's out of his contract after next year? They didn't have to give up a whole heck of a lot, and that's how bad Buffalo wanted to
they're
get rid of him.
Allowing him to become a free agent.
Yes, because there's an out in his deal.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's meathead, Matt. I really don't, but I also don't think it's likely considering where the Bears are and some of the other things they'd like to still maybe accomplish this offseason with DJ Moore.
But you've already done your you traded your fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen.
Right.
You've done your due diligence at the receiver position.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think that's it.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Matt's in Lockport. I hope you come and see us at Embers on Wednesday night, Matt. What's going on?
Well, I have to. How are you guys doing today?
We're great.
So I asked this question to Carm about 2 weeks ago before the Marvin Bears rumors picked up a little bit more steam. I was wondering, so you look at the Montez Sweat trade for a second round in season, obviously. So would you guys rather package 9 in that second rounder from Carolina for a guy like Marvin? Would you guys rather sit back, see how we do in season, look for an in-season move there?
That's a good question. Well, I don't. Sylvie talked about that a lot last week. Like, what is too much to give up if you were going to move way up the board to grab Marvin Harrison? Like, Matt, I don't think just one of those second round picks is going to do it. I don't. If you could tell me that only one of them was going to, I think I might be interested. I think Yurko's a big hard no on that, though. Stay where you are at 9, right?
Stay where you're at 9. There's no reason to move up.
Okay.
There are reasons to move back.
Okay.
There's no reason to move up.
Yurko's pretty adamant about that. I think Waddle's with you, too. Pretty adamant. I think you might be able to talk.
Stay put.
One of those two, but I'm not giving up a first.
You have
first
to make
rounder.
I stay put until I have to make a decision.
Let's go to Derek and Carol Stream. Caleb and Rideshares. Okay. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I got a couple of appeals I wanted to spray through, if I may.
Sure.
One was, I'm tired of hearing everybody giving Caleb crap about crying as a kid when every week I'm watching a golf tournament and the guy's crying afterwards. These are grown men. Nobody's ranking on them about it.
I guess I don't have a problem with it, Derek. I'm with you. I guess the difference is he lost that game, and that's why people view it as some sort of inappropriate, I don't know, moment of overly emotional weakness. I don't know, but I think because they lost that game.
And I'm not giving anything to the guys, the golfers that are crying. I mean, listen, you want to be emotional, be emotional. It takes a lot to win. So, and I don't give Caleb crap about crying either. But one of the other things I want to point to was I was listening to the podcast on Friday. You guys were talking about ride share being terrible at other stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
Went up to a concert up at Milwaukee Baseball Park on Friday, and their rideshare system is terrible. The guy that our Uber driver that dropped us off told us that we could be waiting up to an hour or 2 hours to get a ride, so we left the concert early, and it still took about 45 minutes.
Brutal. I don't know why it's so hard. Sure. Most of the stadiums, I'm with you, Derek, I've experienced it being painful. The UC does it right. That's one of the easier experiences I've ever had with ride shares. I don't know why they get it right. Speaking of the stadium stuff, should we get into some of the what the Tribune reported? Not reported, but just kind of did some detailed analysis of like other stadiums, how they've been funded, what people within the league and politics say about such stadiums. This was by, I think, Colleen Kane and Weederer collabed on this at the Tribune's website. I mean, everybody's, at this point, you know, as much of it as a foregone conclusion that the Bears are drafting Caleb, at some point in the next couple weeks here, the Bears are going to be unveiling plans about what they hope to build here in Chicago and not at Arlington. I mean, it definitely feels like that is their singular focus. Now, as Yurko has pointed out, that doesn't mean Arlington is totally dead, but it's on life support. And they actually write about that a little bit because Minnesota went through a similar thing. They write, as the Bears prepare to unveil their pitch for a new stadium on the museum campus, it's worth noting that the Vikings delivered a similar presentation in May of 2011, proposing to move out of Minneapolis and Hennepin County to a 430-acre site in suburban Arden Hills. Kevin Warren wasn't the Vikings' COO at the time. He was the organization's executive vice president of legal affairs and chief administration officer. But despite the initial momentum, the proposed Minnesota sports complex seemed to have that vision crumbled within a year amid significant funding obstacles plus a thorny political wrestling match that ultimately led the team back to downtown Minneapolis. Let's see, where does this pick up? This is a part that I wanted to X out. We don't need that. As it relates to the Bears' current efforts, it's difficult to forecast whether, like the Vikings, they will end up with a new stadium in the same area where their current stadium sits, or whether, also like the Vikings, their presentation of an attention-grabbing new complex might wind up as little more than a flashy archival artwork in a shift back to their original idea. In this case, that would mean redirecting focus back to the 326-acre property in Arlington Heights that the Bears purchased in 2021 and closed down last year. For now, Warren insists that the latter option is not his focus. Then they've got some quotes and thoughts from the Minneapolis mayor and why they felt it's important. They've built some housing and other things around that area as an entertainment district. I don't know that the Bears even have the feasible land to do something similar. It's also worth noting, as they point out in the article, and they link a very lengthy study that was done by a collaboration between professors at three different universities on the East Coast, Yurko. It was like University of West Virginia, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and one other, I can't remember the third, that talks at length about public subsidy for sports stadiums and how often it's happened in our history and are they good or bad. Most economists, and when I say most, it's like in the 90 something percent of economists, say no amount of public money is ever worth what these stadiums promise to deliver to the greater good or to the public. No amount.
And I agree,
and I know you do. I know your stance on this.
Not one dime go for stadiums, period.
And they're going to come asking, though. They're going to present this to the fans as like, oh, this is why it's going to be good for you and for everybody else.
Leave.
That's
my option for them. Leave. La Canoche. Goodbye. Good night. You don't like it here? Go. Use your own money. Use the NFL's money.
They're going to brag that we're contributing.
Don't they flaunt it? They flaunt how much they have?
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, everybody's supposed to take care of them? I don't think so.
They're going to, I guess, like boast, Dirk, that they've already committed $2 billion of their own money, of private money, And I don't know what a new stadium would cost. I mean, you know, in building a stadium that they want to build here in Chicago, it's certainly more than $2 billion. You're probably not building these for less than $3-4 million, maybe. You know, I know the over what happened in SoFi is
a little
goofy, and it might not be that expensive. It probably wouldn't be. But, yeah, it's a lot of money. You're talking double that. So where's that other $2 billion possibly coming from? And I am interested, I guess, to see their plans. Like, what is it going to look like for this so-called entertainment district? And what else can you get out of that? You don't have the land to do what they did in Minneapolis, do you, where they've put housing and things like that around there? The mayor was boasting about that. You know, this is why it was important to keep it in downtown Minneapolis. This is what we've done with it. Do the Bears have room for that? I don't know. That Abdallah was just talking about the nightmare it was getting through there with traffic yesterday on a regular Sunday, let alone on a game day. You know, when you're coming off 55 and you're getting on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a nightmare.
I don't know. But they seem pretty adamant on putting their new stadium there. And Kevin Warren's talked about the sort of, if you want to call it, curb appeal of what they that stadium would look like.
They can talk to everybody about anything. This deal had nothing to do, when the White Sox did their deal, it had nothing to do with the voters or the people wanted. It had everything to do with what Big Jim wanted and what Jerry wanted.
Yep.
It never went to the people. There was a backroom deal that was struck and agreed to, and all of a sudden everybody in the city of Chicago had to eat it.
Yeah, that never went on a ballot, right? I was awfully young when that happened, but that never went on a ballot,
never
right?
On
it just
ballot.
Somehow they bent over backwards for Jerry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's certainly a situation now, considering how little the White Sox have provided back to the community. I mean, that you want to talk about a team that you tell to go spit. Go spit. I mean, please. You know, it's going to be an easier sell, probably, and more important for certain politicians to do whatever they can to placate the Bears and keep them here. But the White Sox asking for public money at this point, give me a break. I this is sort of a story that I wish would just end already. I kind of just want to know where this goes. Where are you building? What are you asking for? I vote no. I'm a resident of Cook County. You put it on a ballot in front of me, and you get a big no. Sorry. Don't care. Love the Bears. Don't care about funding your new stadium.
Yeah.
You do that on your own.
Not interested.
So my vote is no, but I just want to, like, I want to know.
Yeah.
Where is this going to be, finally? And when is it going
to
be?
And the crap with the, we'll just have, it'll be a tax just on people that come to the city.
No,
the problem is that people from the suburbs come to the city and we get taxed.
Absolutely,
you see the crap when they're out, you eat at a restaurant. You see all the crap at the bottom of that.
Absolutely. It's still a public subsidy. It's still a tax. And you look at what Kansas City just did. That's the Chiefs. And they're telling them, no.
Super Bowl champions.
They're telling them no.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah, maybe it's not good that it's tied in with the Royals, and they're probably just sick of the same old with the Royals. At least the Royals gave them, in the last 15 years, a couple of runs of the World Series, including a championship, for crying out loud. Yeah. They might just be more frustrated with the Royals, but that's the Chiefs that they're being, no.
White Sox don't do anything for you.
Oh, my God. Please. We're going to do the Lunch Rush coming up next, then Players of the Weekend at 150. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Follow the show on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Crosstalk an hour from now. We got White Sox baseball tonight. Royals roll into town for three, and then the White Sox will hit the road for a tough road trip. Not that it really matters. At a franchise worst 2-13 through 15 games. Yep, worst team in baseball. They're clearly the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
Let's do the Lunch Rush.
They're the bottom. Yes,
forget about them and have some fun. It's time to Lunch Rush it. Mr. Abdallah.
What's up, guys?
What do we got today?
Do me a favor and play that lovely, awesome, one of the greatest calls of all time?
What's that one?
The Jim Nantz call of Scotty Too Hotty Scheffler's.
Right. Here we go.
His stardom confirmed.
Cut it.
His stardom confirmed.
At least give me a Scotty Too Hotty. But I did see this yesterday. I believe it was Trey Wingo that tweeted or confirmed that retweeted, whatever it was. You get the idea. That they should have let Vern Lundquist do the last three holes.
Oh, yeah. Good call. I'm surprised they didn't. Or did Jim say no?
It was. He probably did. He probably did.
Jim wanted Romo in the booth with him.
But if you...
There's
a picture going around Twitter of Tiger Woods shaking the tree of a hand.
I saw that.
With the hand of a tree. And yeah. It was Vern that was behind the tree.
Vern was behind the tree.
Yeah. They should have just let Vern do the last three holes.
Yeah, that's a good call. Who said that?
It was Trey Wingo.
Yeah.
Either said it or retweeted someone
who
said it.
That's a good call. Why didn't they? So that Jim could deliver this?
His stardom confirmed.
Stupid. Really?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a play-by-play guy or like a broadcaster
That's crappy.
He's pretty accomplished, but that's it?
Stupid.
I mean, really, At least like drop a Scotty Hottie. What do you call him?
Scotty Too Hottie. I believe he was a wrestler.
Were we confused on him being a star?
I don't think so. He's the number one player in the world.
I didn't need Nance.
Isn't he like the third youngest guy ever to win two Masters at his age? It's like Jack and Tiger, I think. And isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah, I don't think it was a confusion if he was a star or not. I don't know. That Jim's got to cement it for us.
His stardom confirmed.
I mean, I guarantee you, Vern would have given us something more than that. Crying out loud.
Some special, maybe.
Might be time to put Jim Nance out to pasture soon.
Let me ask you guys this. We all love sports, and we love when champions are crowned. When you have a runaway, a blowout, and it's not necessary to have a great call,
right?
Do you need to go to the little scripted call that you wrote up in your hotel room the night before? Like, we knew he was going, like, he makes that putt. First of all, a great chip shot to get within, what was it? That was like 2 feet away. It's like he won the Masters. Like, there was no drama to the situation at all. You don't need to have a little cutesy line.
There was no drama. That's true.
When UConn won the national title, it was a blowout at the
end.
It was obvious. There's no need for the final
overdramatic
special call.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
76-60.
Like something really... like that. Leave that to like the radio person.
Yeah,
because like that's the other thing on TV. It's just a bunch of silence anyway. So get out of here with your cue card and your little line you wrote up the day before.
They should have definitely let Vern do those last couple. That's a great call. Like Vern's last ever, and he was emotional. Vern's last ever run. Calling the action at Augusta. So I would have been cool with that, but I don't know. Maybe Jim was like, no.
Of course he was. Come on. I'm going to give you guys some NFL draft position odds released by Circa Sports.
All right.
So these are position odds, right?
Position odds.
Right. Odds. J.J. McCarthy over or under 5.5.
I'll say, the way this is trended, I'm going to say high, like you got to pick higher, right? Like
lower would be like 4-3-2-1 and higher would be 6 or.
Oh,
you know.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
I'd go under.
Yeah, I'd go lower.
Lower than 5?
Yes.
Okay. So that's
5.5. So it's
5.5. So 5 or lower.
4 or 5, you win.
Yeah. So that's -120 right now on the board.
So that's the favorite?
Yes. That's the favorite. Slight favorite.
Okay.
The next quarterback is Michael Penix Jr., 32.5.
I'm going to take after 32.
After 32.
Yeah, that's -190.
Yeah, that's heavy.
That's pretty juiced up there.
Yeah, that's a lot of juice.
Bo Nix also 32.5.
What is it?
Bo Nix is also 32.5.
I'm not buying the Denver thing. I'm going to say after.
You're going to go second round?
Yeah.
That's -120, so not that much juice.
Your dilemma is somebody trading up to 32 to get the fifth-year control. And which quarterback are they doing it for?
Yeah, that would
screw. So that's why they set it there.
That would screw you. Yeah, they set it first, second round.
Right.
Yeah.
This one's interesting. Marvin Harrison Jr., 4.5.
Ooh. Oh.
Because if someone wants to trade up to 4 to get J.J. McCarthy, this would mean that he would go over, and it's +295.
Bigsy's mock has exactly that happen.
To go over
4.5.
4.5.
So that would lead me to believe that's the whole, like, somebody knows something and Arizona's staying there to grab him, isn't it?
+295.
To be after the fourth pick, you're saying?
Yes.
-400. Doesn't that lead you to believe that somebody knows something and, like, they know Arizona's staying there? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
-400? I don't know. It's, That alone tells me, you know what I think about how good they are out there in Vegas. Like that.
Oh, they're pretty good.
They're not always going to get it right, but like that would tell me that that trade is not going to happen and that they do stay where they are and they draft him fourth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else on there?
There's Malik Nabers, who is at 5.5.
Man, these are hard. Now you're getting into that. I would imagine... if the Chargers aren't moving out, like he's their guy... What do they have the favorite as? Do they have the favorite as under that?
Under
as,
minus 135.
That's what I would think. Yeah. Probably that sounds about right. What about Adunze?
Adunze, 8.5.
Let's hope it's after.
Well, I hope after it's after.
After would be plus 110.
Bears.
Yeah.
Oh, only plus 110.
Yeah. So minus 140 to go under.
That's right on the line. I don't know if it was minus 140 and plus 110. Mm-hmm. I hate that.
It's too big of a spread.
That is too big of a spread. I hate that. But that's right where we need it. Okay, I like these.
I do not see Dallas Turner on here.
Yeah, they don't.
Oh, he is on here. 9.5, minus 115 both ways for 9.5. Dallas Turner.
Four. I'll say he doesn't get past the Falcons.
And I thought this guy would be higher. Jared Verse at 14.5.
Yeah, that seems well. Depending on which one you're looking at,
depends when the tackle run goes too. So will the offensive tackles go before the pass rushing defensive ends?
That's a good call.
You know, the pass rushers, the edge rushers.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the importance right now on protecting the quarterback or on getting to the quarterback?
That's
intriguing.
Good call. Where do they have? Where does Mel's live?
Because there's a tackle run. If you notice, Mel's or Bigsy,
yeah,
he got himself a tackle run going.
Boy, they've got Jared Verse. I think going a way like Bigsy's got him going a lot higher. Where do they have Jared Verse going? I'm looking. Am I missing it?
Always seeing the mock drafts that have been coming out have always had him in at least the top 11 or 12.
Yeah. Why am I missing them? But they got a ton of wide receivers, you guys, in this first round. Like, in this top 40, I mean, you see a lot of wide receivers.
Are you looking at Bigsies? Which one?
No, I was looking at Mel and I was looking at Mel and Fields.
You couldn't find Jared Verse?
I'm missing it somehow. Marvin.
Control-F.
That's right. Control-F. Thank you. Control-F. These guys told me that. Jared Verse. Boy, they got him going way down, you guys. 21 to Miami. That'd be a good pick for Miami right there. Miami needs to replace a lot on that defense.
They've got him going 22 here to the Washington Redskins.
Wow, okay.
Ooh. And that's who's our guy here?
Field and Mel.
Yeah, I think this one's Field. Yeah, Field Yates has got him going 22 now.
Okay.
All right, that's it for that. You guys love going through old drafts.
Love it. We love old drafts.
What year?
NFL.com has a list of ranking the last 24 drafts.
I love this.
Okay, I'm just going to give you the top five. This is just quarterbacks in the last 24 drafts from the year 2000.
Like, so is this you're saying the draft that has produced the best quarterbacks?
Yes, the draft that has produced the best quarterbacks, the top five.
I would guess 2020, right? The 2020 draft?
Coming in at number five is 2005. You had Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell in the first round, Kyle Orton in the fourth round, Dan Orlovsky in the fifth round. Ugh,
terrible.
Yeah, not great.
But it's not bad. But a couple of those names at the top is what makes that a strong one.
Number four, 2018's draft that had Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson all in the first round.
You've got two superstars and one pretty good one. The others are big
busts. The Ravens traded back up into the first round to get Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but you got some star power in that draft.
Number three, 2017...
Because of
Mitchell Trubisky.
All because of Mahomes.
And Mahomes, and then Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Nathan Peterman. Number two, 2020.
Oh, so I was wrong. I thought that would be number one.
Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts. Winners in that draft. And coming in at number one.
Can I guess, is it Big Ben, Eli, and Rivers?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You also had Matt Schaub in that draft.
It's pretty good.
That's about it.
That's
from that
pretty
draft.
Good.
Craig Krenzel was in that draft, too.
That's not so good.
No, it's
smart
not.
Kid, but...
What's the worst draft?
The worst draft of the last 24 years.
Oh, boy.
It's got to be the Trey Lance one, right?
Yeah, because that's...
Trey Lance, Justin Fields.
Zach Wilson.
Wilson.
Not on.
No. Incorrect.
At least you got Trevor.
Think about a bigger
and the kid
bust.
Up, and the kid up
big
there.
Bust.
The biggest bust.
Oh, Jamarcus Russell.
Yes.
Yeah.
2007, Jamarcus Russell, Brady Quinn... Kevin Kolb, John Beck, Drew Stanton, Trent Edwards were your three rounds of quarterbacks.
None of them were good.
Yeah.
Zero.
That's painful.
That's horrific. Think about it. 2002, David Carr, Joey Harrington, Patrick Ramsey, Josh McCown was in the third round.
Oh, yeah. Well, that one can't be that far off, though. The one with Zach Jones, right?
Zach Wilson.
Well, no, who's the guy that played up in New England? That's been a bust.
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
Yeah, the 2021 one's not looking
great.
That's
horrific.
You got
too.
Trevor, who's okay, and you know is pretty good, and the rest, it's not looked all that. It hasn't looked particularly good. Fun exercise. I like that. Anything else, Adam?
That's it.
It's a good lunch rush. Let's give away one of these four packs that we have to the Marian Hossa event benefiting the Ross K. McNeil Foundation to end pediatric brain cancer this Wednesday at Morgan Manufacturing. If you can make it, if you love Big Hoss, if you love hockey and the Hawks, and you want to mingle a little bit, Pat Boyle's going to be there. Marian Hossa, some of his old teammates will be there. Doors open at 6:30 at Morgan Manufacturing this Wednesday night. That's a really cool space, by the way, in the West Loop. We've got a couple of four packs. We'll give away one of those right now. We'll make it easy on Adam. I mean, I could do caller 81 in honor of Marian Hossa, but how about just caller number 20? We'll make it nice and easy, nice and tidy. Caller 20, you win if you can make it this Wednesday, 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, congrats to Tim McElhaney. Is I saying that right? There we go. He's our first winner of the four-pack of tickets to the Marian Hossa night, benefiting the Ross K. McNeil Foundation to end pediatric brain cancer. Hawks had their final home game last night.
It was a loss.
It was,
it was too late with about 3 minutes left in Carolina on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
Then they scored a goal, added an empty netter. It was 4-2.
And the rest, as they say, is
we finally saw another one of the rookies come back and play a little bit.
Who?
Nazar. N-A-C-A-R.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Thank
he
you.
He had a goal.
That.
First shot goal.
Well, that's good.
First shot goal.
Bedard's got, what, like 60 points, I think? Pretty good. 60 points in 66 games. That's good. Do you know what Sidney Crosby had as a rookie?
Sidney Crosby had 82 games. I think he had 87 points.
He had 102 points as an 18-year-old rookie.
Boy, wow, that's pretty,
pretty good.
Good.
But Bedard's got a promising future, so that's good. Let's talk about our players of the weekend, Yurko. Who would you like to discuss from this past weekend as your player of the weekend? Who was it?
Oh,
who stands
out? I think it's simple. I think there's only one guy.
I think it's pretty simple.
And that guy's name is Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ellie De La Cruz.
No, I wasn't going to say Ellie.
Scottie Scheffler makes a lot of sense, Yurko.
Right.
Ever. You're never going to say him ever? Never, ever?
Ever.
Know.
Ever.
Scottie Scheffler, going to be tough to top. A second green jacket already. He's just 27. Boy, he's good. And when he's making putts, watch out, everybody. I like that Oberg kid, man. That young, he's just a kid.
Yeah, Ludvig.
Ludvig.
Ludvig and his brother.
The Swede.
And his brother Ramses.
That's not his brother.
Really. It is. Rasmus. I think it's Rasmus is what it is, not Ramses.
Rasmus.
It's Rasmus. Oberg. Yes. You didn't see that little thing about the both of them?
I missed that. I did not see that.
Yeah.
That kid could play some golf, so, man.
Ludvig and Rasmus.
All right, so you're going with a pretty obvious choice, but it's a good one.
I think it is a good one.
Abdallah, who do you like from the weekend?
Like a man of the people, someone that gives back to the fans, Carmen, and that's why I'm going to go with Boban Marjanovic here.
Oh, this is a great story. Tell everybody this.
So the Houston Rockets have a promotion that it's if a opposing team member misses two consecutive free throws, everyone gets free Chick-fil-A. And so these teams were playing for nothing. Boban's at the free throw line. Yeah. He missed the first one. The crowd is cheering and yelling. He acknowledges the crowd, points to them, says, "I got you," purposely bricks the second free throw, and then points, does like the circle point to the crowd as he's running back on defense. It's great.
Is he the best or what? Like, I mean,
his commercials are funny.
Freaking lovable.
Yeah.
That's a very good
movies.
One. That's a very good one. Has he been in a movie?
Yeah, he was in one of the Wicks.
Was he?
John Wick killed him.
I think he is.
In the library.
I think he is.
Which
in the movie.
One is that?
He's why the, he killed him
that?
In the library.
I think it's the Clippers. The Clippers are the ones that give away the sandwiches. Boban plays for the Rockets.
Boban plays for the Rockets.
He was a road player in Los Angeles, but he spent a long time with the Clippers.
Yes.
before we moved on.
John Wick Parabellum.
Oh, so that's the third one. I'm trying to remember. Why can't I remember that?
Either way, he was there. It was in the library. He went to the library to get like some coins and some stuff.
Yeah, then
it was early to kill him because he hadn't gone excommunicado yet.
Excommunicado.
And he goes, "What's the difference? Let's just go." And then he killed him with the book.
Very good. Okay. All right. Who are you going with, Chris Black?
You know, isn't it obvious, guys? Like Yurko said, it's obvious. I'm going to give it to Tom Thibodeau.
Mm.
The New York Knicks finished second in the East, and yesterday they beat the Bulls in a game that theoretically they could have rested players and then perhaps taken the third seed if Milwaukee edged them out, but they didn't, so they win the second seed. And they played hard till the end. They beat the Bulls. Brunson with 40, played another great game. But like Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks are the second-best team in the East. They weren't expected to be the second-best team in the Knicks. Thibodeau still getting it done, running his players right into the ground and right to the second spot in the Eastern Conference.
And unfortunately, they might not go very far, but that's a pretty impressive finish.
See, Yurk, it's obvious, right?
Absolutely. So for some, it's obvious. For others,
how about Jalen dropping 40 again on the Bulls?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Come on.
I was going to say Jalen Brunson, but like I think it's also funny that Thibodeau, like they had in front of them an opportunity in the last couple days to like kind of rest, but instead they played hard and they tried to win games.
They're playing overtime. But Jalen's playing.
See, that's
40 minutes.
The true. What is it? The spirit of the game.
The spirit.
You play
of the game.
Every game to try and win the game.
Tom Thibodeau definitely does that. All right, so Tibbs, that's a good one. Marjanovic is a good one. Scottie Scheffler's tough to top. I will go with Ellie De La Cruz. Even though he had a quiet weekend after Friday, he thrilled my son. That was important. That was important. He put on a show for the light crowd that was there Friday night, a very heavy Reds crowd. I was impressed. I was like, wow, the Reds fans are showing out. I'll go with Ellie De La Cruz. You cannot take your eyes off of him in person, Yurk. First time I got to see him play live, he thrilled on Friday night. He did have a quiet weekend after that, but told you he had a single when he first came up. He had an absolute frigging bomb. His second at bat, a three-run homer deep into the night. His third at bat, he hit the ball on the screws. He hit it almost 105 miles an hour. A 500 expected batting average on that one. He just happened to hit it right at the Cubs. The White Sox right fielder, he dropped the ball yesterday. He didn't drop that one on Friday, but I'll go with Ellie De La Cruz. So we spread it around to a few of the different impressive people from this weekend in the world of sports. Ring us up at 312-332-3776. We got Crosstalk in about 30. More fun to come, including another four-pack that we'll give away for the Marian Hossa charity event on Wednesday night. We're back in 2 minutes.